well and desire your prayers. I want to say I appreciate the Lord tonight. And I'm glad for the time that the Lord came and visited my life and changed the course of my life. And I'd like to think about that a little bit tonight, about how in life it seems like there comes times that there is special moments and special times that can change the whole course of life. There's no doubt that it's happened in the course of the world. There has been times that certain events have come up to a place that things could be so much different than they are. Have you ever thought about that?
Yes.
Have you ever thought about the what ifs? I know maybe it's not real wise to do that all the time, but have you ever thought about the what ifs? What if I hadn't given my heart to the Lord when I did? What if I hadn't continued in a certain hard place in my life? What if I hadn't prayed till I got through? What if God hadn't healed when He did? What? How much different could life be separated by a moment? I'm thinking particularly of another historical event. I only read about it, of course, but back in the early 60s, there was what was being called the Cold War. It wasn't actually any shots fired. There was two great superpowers. After World War II, during World War II for the United States, they had developed nuclear weapons. Awesome force that they had created. Soviet Union ends up with nuclear weapons, and so you have two great superpowers with enough weapons to annihilate one another. That's that can be kind of scary to think of in the hands of mortals, in the hands of people. Now, I believe beyond that. I believe there is providence, and I believe God rules this universe.
Yes.
But there come a time that the Soviet Union, who was in league with Cuba, put a missile on Cuba, pointed towards the southern part of the United States. And the United States had some spy planes or whatever it was, so it went over and took some pictures, and they looked down and seen that there was missiles on Cuba that was in range of the United States. The president at the time was John F. Kennedy, and it was a dilemma. It was a very difficult situation. And so they made a naval blockade of Cuba and demanded that the Soviet Union remove their missiles from Cuba. That it was a hostile act to the United States, and the United States would not tolerate it. Not put up it. Now you're talking about two people with enough force to pretty much annihilate one another. And one is making an ultimatum to the other, saying, remove the missiles from there. And they put their naval ships out there and they blockade it, and the Soviet Union sends ships towards Cuba. And here it comes. Here comes a conflict. These are warships. They're coming together. I have read that the commander, the naval commander, says to the president, at what point do we fire? And the president said, you're not to fire until I say fire. Under no circumstances. circumstances are you to fire until I say fire? It was that close. Do you know what a moment could have meant? Think about that. What could one zealous, what could one excited? You ever get excited? You know, I find it very hard to do the right thing and do what you're supposed to do when you're excited. And you're trying to do something, and even though there's enough time to do it, if you was in a normal frame of mind, you can't hardly do it because you're in this nervous situation. So here it is. This dilemma. Well, what happened was the Soviets backed down. And they said, we'll remove the missile or the missiles from Cuba. Later, Khrushchev, who was the leader of the Soviet Union, said in an interview that it brought fear to him how close that he had come to starting a nuclear war with the United States. He didn't know what to do. He comes to this certain point, and in a moment of time, in a moment of decision, history was altered. We didn't suffer the consequences of a nuclear war. And it was there in a moment, a choice was made that was a very good choice. It was a very good choice. There would be no winners in something like that. You couldn't win. I say in every one of our lives there has come a time that there has come to a point that there is a choice to be made. Yes. That would be a great choice. Or there would be a choice that would be a bad choice. In a moment there's things that's changed and altered the course of thousands, if not millions, of people's lives. It changed the course of life. And so it is with us. Do you know tonight? Now, the children are mostly all over there talking to adults. Do you know how one decision can alter the course of your children's life? Or the course of your grandchildren's life? You know, one choice, one episode, one place in your life could go with you all your life as a choice that you make. We come into these times, and Lord help us, of these times and opportunities that we have. God gives us opportunities. I don't find them always there. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Sounds to me like an opportunity that isn't always there. It isn't always possible, but seek Him while you can. Find Him while you can. Make the decisions while you can make it. These things come many times, and you know, in the seriousness of the moment, a word can be spoken and a soul be lost. Have you ever thought about the idea of what a large matter a little fire kindleth? And what in one moment of time, the wrong word, the wrong sins, the wrong attitude, what it could mean to many, many people. There come a time, I can see it personally in my life, there come a time that the Lord dealt with my heart. Well, you know the truth about it, the Lord dealt with my heart as I look back at it. The Lord dealt with me a lot of times in my life. I remember times where the Lord dealt with me specifically, and I knew almost nothing. But there would be a preacher, or there'd be a word, or there'd be something that the Lord would be able to stop me for just a moment and speak to me, and I would brush it off. But there'll come a time that the Lord began to deal with me more and more, and there'll come a time that I said, I want to be saved. You know, I was 23 years old, and at the strength of my life, and I'd run it out. I felt like I would run it out. I was hopeless. I didn't know what to do with everything. It just seemed like nothing was right for me. I needed something, and the Lord come along. And in that decision, in that time, that one point right there, folks, there was a decision made. There was a choice made. There was something that happened that will affect the generations of my family. It will affect them. I'm not saying they're all going to be saved and live for the Lord, but they've all been affected by that choice that I made. They've all had a very close association with the saints. They've all had a first-hand knowledge of truth. They've all, every one of my children, have been the recipients of the answer of prayer on their lives and in their bodies. And for their causes and for their work, they've been able to receive from the Lord something that isn't always, it isn't easy just to disregard. And it all happened at a time and a moment to where history was changed, or I should say, history was made there. It wasn't to be changed. But it's going to go one way or it's going to go another. There's going to be something happen as history goes on. But we can make a difference in what we're doing by the decisions we make in life. And Lord, help us. We still make decisions. Have you ever thought what you might mean to somebody? Have you ever thought what people might do if you give up? Have you ever thought that maybe someone does depend on you? Maybe somebody is looking at you. Have you ever thought that it might be the detriment to somebody that's wanting to see something? See, there's a body of people here tonight, and every one of us in here, I'd be willing to say, knows somebody that the rest of us don't know. I don't know Randy and Angie. You know them, Brother Clint? We don't know them, Sister Sarah. They're in your world. See, that's the decisions that her and her husband make across the street or wherever they are as neighbors. Do you realize that the decisions that they make, obviously they've testified with their life that they live for the Lord. Now, I'm going to just use you for example. I hope don't embarrass you, but they're there. And they testified they needed to be saved. And they see this and they do that. I wonder what it would be like to look over there or to hear Matt and Sarah's getting a divorce. Have you heard Matt and Sarah's breaking up? You hear that they give up. They don't serve the Lord anymore. You know they fight all the time. You know the decisions that they make is bound to affect.
Yes, that's right.
It's bound to affect. Oh, it'll affect, it would affect the children for sure, but it's going to affect the neighbors. It's going to affect mom and dad. It's going to affect, do you know it affects this congregation? Do you know it would affect me? It would affect me in my life. So Lord, help us to realize the importance of a moment. And that's what I want to look at tonight. The importance of a moment. Because that moment, now I know I talked about time, and it's the same thing in a sense, but I want to talk about the different directions that life can take at a moment. And what history can be changed. There was another that I remember. Brother Jim told me about it. Of course, it's in history. And I love the history, especially of World War II. And there was a time late in the war, just before Christmas, 1944. All the Allies thought that the Germans had been beaten back. They were being whipped back, beat back. And the winter was coming on. And no one could believe that there would be any German offensive. They were just beat. And so the lines were thin in places and all this, and Hitler designed a plan. I think he had 24 divisions that he had reserved, and he had come up with this scheme that he was going to make a mad dash through the Ardennes, and he was going to go to Antwerp, and he was going to get the fuel and everything. He was going to go drive all the way to the ports of the sea, and he was hoping to be able to sue for peace after that. He was going to delay the war. He had his whole scheme. It was on a timetable. It was on a timetable. He had to conquer this. He had to get this fast, here, this fast, this fast. It was on a timetable to be able to do it. He had it set up. The weather worked out for him. Everything went, and they went. And all of a sudden, there was an offensive started. And even the people in the Allied army was saying, "Well, this couldn't be a real offensive. You know, it's just a skirmish, and it's not real." And then the more news come in, no, this is a major offensive that the Germans have done. And so Brother Jim, many of you knew him, Brother Jim was in the 101st Airborne, and the 101st Airborne was actually in reserve and was relaxing. They was out of the They'd been in a lot of battles, and they was allies, and the only reserve that they... So they rushed the 101st up there to try to... It was a sacrifice. They had to try to stem the battle. They needed time, and they tried to... So they threw the 101st in there, and they ended up in a place called Baston, where there was almost like the spokes of a wheel. All the roads come into it, and this was essential to the timetable. And it was so chaotic that when the 101st was coming in to try to secure the lines, and the other parts of the army and people was going the other way, and it was a mix up, and the Germans was coming in, and the battle ensued, and Brother Jim got circled. They was in, 101st was in Baston. And then history was made because of a few men that would not give up, and they wouldn't give in, and they wouldn't give over. And they knew that they needed to delay them. They had to delay them. And they gritted their teeth and they dug in and they fought for everything they could fight with. And every attack, they was able to repel it. They kept fighting and fighting, and their supplies was running out and it was looking bad for them, but they hung in there and done it. And in a moment, in a course, in a decision, history was made. It was changed. History was changed. Nobody knows what would have been the outcome had it have worked differently. But because of a few men that was willing to put their all into it and give it what it had, no matter what it means, we've got to hold this. They held it. And the course of history was changed. And how many times has there been those? I thank God for them. I thank God for them. How many have there been that said, I will not surrender. I will not give up ground. I'm going to fight this thing through. I'm going to show the world there's a God. I'm going to show the saints there's a God. I'm going to show that there's victory. And we have victory in this thing. And I'm going to press this thing on. And they press it all the way. And those of us that really love the Lord and love the cause and see it, we say, thank God.
Yes, amen.
I needed that.
Yes,
amen. Have you ever said that? I needed that. Brother Sammons, I needed you to be true. I needed that. I needed those that stood the test of time. What happened in that battle will forever be written down in history. They couldn't break through. One thing got them. Some stubborn men at Baston. They couldn't. They needed the road hub to get through there in time, and they couldn't get it. And then the skies cleared. And when the skies cleared, here come the air forces. And the Germans didn't have one. And the whole battle turned, and the Third Army under Patton came and relieved the city, and the whole tide was turned, and the Battle of the Bulge was won because of some stubborn men that would not give in or give up. And in a moment, history was changed. You know, history can be altered by us. Oh, I don't suppose I'll ever be written down in history books by changing anything. But it ain't the history that I'm worried about changing. I'm thinking more about my world. My world. You know, it'd be worth it just if I have my children be able to say, I want to serve the Lord too. If I can hear, if they can come to the point that I can hear them pray, if I can know that they've been successful at it, that'll be enough of the history for me to have done it. If I can know that what I believe so strongly in and give my life to it, if I can only know that my children's children will embrace it or have an opportunity to embrace it, that'll be a reward.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Well, let's look at Scripture. Oh, let's start with 11th chapter of Matthew, I think. We will start with that one. Sixteen. But whereunto shall I liken this generation. It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you opportunity. There's a time given, an opportunity. We've piped unto you. Do you know that there's one thing that the people of Jesus' time, the Jews of Jesus' time, could hardly say in judgment is that you didn't give us a chance. Oh, they was given a great chance. You imagine those that was able to actually experience the Lord as He was here on this earth? To actually have been a part of something. What happened to these people? At the time that history was supposed to have been changed for their lives, I think about when Jesus fed the 5,000. You remember when Jesus fed the 5,000, and then later after that, there was those that was following Him, and Jesus said, "You didn't follow Me because you saw the miracles." Well, what was they following for then? What was the reason? Why are you following? You're coming along, but you're not following for the right reason. You have the opportunity. What would you do if you saw a first-hand event of where 5,000 people was fed with a couple pieces of bread and a couple fish? And you was one of them that ate of it. Would you not naturally say, I mean, you wouldn't even... Maybe not. I mean, I can see jumping up and down about it, but if you wasn't so inclined to do that, wouldn't you at least say, huh, there must be something special about this?
Yes,
wouldn't you think that these people would have at least said, this guy must know something that we don't know? I've never seen anybody that could feed 5,000 with that and then take up 12 baskets full of fragments. To the end of it, there's something special happened here.
Yes.
You and our minds will work that way, won't it? But when I ask you something, when it gets down personal, how many times has the Lord performed a miracle for you? And ask you this, how long did it last? How long did the inspiration of God's work in your life last to you? It may not last till the next day. You know, I've had the Lord do special things for me before till I could have to test them. That was God. And then next day a trial come and I'm all bent out of shape. Well, wait, He said. What about, I just fed 5,000. The disciples even said something about worrying about food. Was He talking about food? Right after the event of feeding the 5,000, they're saying, oh, the Lord's worried about us having food. Come on, guys. I just fed 5,000 people with this. We have piped to you the opportunity that God gave people. You know what that was for? It was to alter history. Jesus did that to alter their history so that these people would have the ability to believe and understand and know that we're dealing with God Almighty. We've got something special in our hands. If He can feed 5,000, see, this is the natural, this is what's supposed to happen. If He can feed 5,000, then He can feed me. He can take care of me. He can take care of all of my, if He can do that and provide for, He can provide all my needs. Here's the one that will make a difference to me. That's what it was for. But they didn't accept it. They didn't receive it. What did they do with that? Did they believe that? Did it fade from their understanding? What did they say? That was a magician's trick? What did they say? I'm going to say this. Now the opportunity's gone. If history wasn't changed, your life didn't take a different course. And it stays on its course. Then what are you going to do? He said, we've piped unto you, but you didn't dance. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. Now I'm going to tell you, to me, this is what this means. Two elements, the most, to me, two of the most influential elements in our emotions is music and mourning. You think about it. Aren't they both? You ever driving down the road to music and all of a sudden you're going, if it's a fast tune, you're going faster and faster? I think we all recognize, I'm not even a very musical person, and I recognize very, very much the influence of music. Music is very influential to us. My little children, without any influence from anybody, will move to music. When they're little, they'll start moving to music because it's music. Now, that's opportunity. To be touched, to be touched, and given the ultimate opportunity, and this is it's an analogy, but to dance. It means you're moving with it. You're going with it. The ultimate opportunity for you to dance is when the music's being played. Because you feel it. You can feel it. You can allow yourself to feel it. And if you don't do it when the music's being piped, when are you going to do it? Are you going to do it when you don't feel the emotions of it? When will you ever be saved if you don't do it when the Lord's working? You won't. And the other emotion that is, if I was up here and was to tell you a sad story and start crying, the sensitive ones would too. It would touch you. I've been in this place many times, and in the course of sorrow or sadness revealed through me, the congregation cries. We've mourned unto you. When are you going to cry? If it's not when others are mourning. And when you can be touched. When you can really be touched. Jesus has a time, folks, to change your life. The ultimate opportunity, the Lord knows. The Lord knows when you're ultimately ready to be changed. But if you're not willing to be changed in the moments that the Lord touches you, you'll never be changed. You can't change yourself, and your will won't let you change yourself. You won't just come to, I think I'll change myself. It takes something more than that. It takes the one that fed 5,000 to be able to change you and I. To be able to change the course of our lives. To make a difference with us. It takes God to do it. Lord, help you and I to be willing. At those times, I'm glad the course of my history was changed when I gave my heart to the Lord. The course of my offspring, if I would have had any, is changed. The course of my family, immediate family, has been changed. The course has been changed by a divine hand that the Lord brought in my life. And I'm so thankful that He did. But, you know, I didn't have to give in to that. And you don't have to give in to it, but the Lord wants you to. Is there, if you're here tonight and you have things that need that kind of a touch, the Lord's the only one that can do it.
Yes, that's right.
Lord, help us. There was another event. I thought about how it changed the course of the history of World War II. And Brother Jim also was involved in this. It was called D-Day. D standing for day. That was the military term. D for day. It's time to go. There was a time. This plan to invade Fortress Europe was being delayed. They had planned it some 2 years before. They knew it had to be done. But they looked at all the situations, and it was pretty technical. It was pretty tedious. To do what they was going to do was a great undertaking. They needed every advantage. They needed a certain tide level. That meant, as they looked at it, that there was a 2-day window. 5 and 6 of June, the tide would be right. They needed certain things to happen with the seas, with the shorelines. They needed a certain time. And when they looked at all of the things that of the time, because they needed a full moon And they needed a tide level, and they needed all these things, and they come up with the 5th and 6th of June. So they planned it. This is when we're going to go, 5th of June. But as it got closer and closer to that, the weather report, they was looking every day. Weather guys was hourly reporting to Eisenhower, this is what's happening. This storm's coming in. They can't do it in a storm. It'd be a disaster. And so the 5th of June had come, and all of a sudden the 5th of June was slipping away. We're not going to be able to do it the 5th of June. But the meteorologist started saying there's a window of clear weather. A window, a space. A space of time. It's not a big space of time. The storm's going to continue some hours later. But these depressions are forming, and there's going to be a clear space over the Normandy beach, the 6th of June. And the more they reported it, and finally, the weight of the world was on him, pretty much. Eisenhower's decision, they gave him the right to make the decision. He's looking at all this, and finally, he says, it's D-Day. H hour. It's time to go. And he said, go. And in that one moment, history was changed. They looked at the situation and said that they did not know how long it would be that the conditions would ever have come together again to be able to do what they needed to be done. But now it is. And that window that spread open in the clouds, that window, that depression that was made, was an opportunity. And I look at that sometimes and says, how many times have we looked at the impossibles? How many times has it looked like it'll never line up? It will not work. You can't do it. And the saints start praying. And they'll be given a window and a space of time to be able to accomplish against the enemy's work, a time to be able to change the course of history for our lives, for our generation's life. Those around us has changed at a time. Right there. You know, God works on our behalf. The fact that there's a congregation, you know, we have a heritage up home, up in Green Bay. We have a heritage. We talk about it every once in a while. Because we have a heritage up there of what the God has done for. The reason there's a chapel sitting there is because God put one there. You know what that used to be? That was where the Department of Highways dumped their fill right there. It was the state-owned property there that they dumped their fill. And the saints ended up worshiping in the chapel up there in the curve. Some people remember it. I've seen pictures or heard tell of it. You remember that, Brother John? Real tight right there in the curve. Even the community still remembers that. Finally, the state condemned that and said, that's awful, dangerous. We'll give you this land down here. Well, the state had in mind all the time they was in charge. But you know, really, there was a God in heaven that was in charge of all of that situation. You know, history was altered and changed because of someone that went in there and labored and worked, that heard the call. Different people's lives lined up and came together. Brother Jim, Brother Sammons, different one of them came together because God made an opportunity and spread and made a place there. And now there's a congregation of people over there that worship in a chapel place, and done the impossible was achieved there, and God gave that to them. And the chapel was built, and all that. And I heard the other day, they said by the time the chapel was built, it was paid for. God gave the property, built the chapel, paid for the chapel, and now there's a congregation there. And many times we look and say, that's our heritage. God gave us something through some people that changed the course of history there in that area by being willing to do what God wanted them to do.
Yes, amen.
And it was altered and changed. And I remember one time there was I can't really testify to what we do now, but I remember one time somebody come up with the idea and said, we don't have any insurance on this chapel. We probably ought to get some insurance on this chapel. What if something would happen? And you know, some of them old ones that was there when the Lord did that said, God gave us this. God gave us this. Ain't nobody can take this. God, and they meant it. They was there in testimony. This God gave us that. I wouldn't even worry about God. And they started telling how God had begun to work and how God did that. We pipe to you. Dance. It'll change the course. Dance. When the Lord comes by His inspiration and touching, move. Move with the inspiration of it. God wants more. Have you ever... Lord help me, I daydream. I want to tell you, I'm a daydreamer sometimes. And I think sometimes, Lord, are we doing what we should be doing? We went one time and was in the University of Virginia Medical Center, or Hospital, and we wanted to sing some songs. And said, well, let's go to the lounge. Well, we didn't want to be rude to the people, so went into the lounge, and the lounge, or the waiting room was full. Nah, we can't do it in that, it's full. And I said, well, I don't know about that. They might want to hear singing too. And I'll just go ask them. So I went in and said, hey, can I have y'all's attention? And everybody, of course, looks. And I said, we was wanting to sing some hymns, and we was wondering, would you all mind if we... Oh, so please do. Please do. And they went down there. You know, saints went in there and started singing. I'm going to tell you, folks, it was like heaven come down in there.
Thank the Lord.
Because the Lord's given a gift for us to change history with. We have the tools to change people's histories. Moments. There was a golden moment. I was so inspired and disappointed at this experience, because we started singing, and I started looking and seeing tears. People was being moved. People was being touched. Seeing tears. I seen people moving. I'm gonna tell you, we had them. Then all of a sudden, some of the singers say, "Man, it's hot in here." Like, no, you didn't see it. You didn't. Well, you just a moment lost. Wasn't seen. It lost. Well, it wasn't totally lost, because it was able to go in and start talking to people. Even was able to talk to somebody, and they want us to go have prayer with some people. I mean, but you know, you got to dance. It's time to move. Have you ever wondered before, with some of the talent that the Lord has given our singers, if we just move out sometimes and want to be spontaneous and move out sometimes and at the right time, just give the gift to the world?
Yes.
And I think it just ain't happening. All of that wonderful talent and gifts, it's not being used. Lord help me, because I don't want to be one that says somebody else ought to go do something. But it wouldn't be the same if I did it. So I said, there's gifting. God, give people something. Lord, help you and I to make the most out of what the Lord has given us.
Yes.
Because He said we piped, but they didn't dance. Mm-hmm. And we've mourned, but they didn't lament. We gave the golden opportunity. We gave Him the most. Lord, help you and I to pipe and to mourn. Help us to be the ones that reach out. So perhaps there will be those that will dance and that will mourn. And that the lives and the course of lives. I know a lot of people, I pray that the Lord will change the course of their life. That history will be changed for them in their life, that they could be saved and make heaven their home. Do you know, if people weren't saved, history is going to go down the same, and they're going to end up somewhere. But they don't have to. The course can be changed.
Yes.
Lord help us. We'll look at another scripture. It's over in let's see. I want to look at the 22nd chapter of Acts. Just want to mention a few people There was a woman, before we get to this passage, there was a woman in the Scriptures that had an issue of blood. The Scripture says that she was 12 years seeking physicians. And she spent all of her substance on trying to be better. Can't blame her for that. But then there come a time that the Lord passes by. And the course of a woman's life was changed. She said, if I could but touch the hem of His garment. She said within herself, faith got hold. And this man is something special. See, she had a different view. This is someone that can do something for me. So much so that he don't even have to know it. All I have to do is touch this holy man. And I'll be made whole. And she pressed. Folks, listen. She pressed. The opportunity wasn't dealt to her on a silver platter, so to speak. It didn't just happen and come to her. It was in the vicinity. It was available by pressing. She had to press. She was weak by nature. Blood diseases will do that. Her blood issue made her weak. She pressed through that. She pressed through. Have you ever heard somebody say, I'm not feeling well, so I'm not going to service? Well, I've heard it plenty. But you can press too. I know there's times we don't go, I'm not went to. But there's also a press. She wasn't feeling like it, but she needed something bad. And she needed it bad enough, she pressed to get it. And in a moment, folks, in a moment, do you realize in a moment, this is so blessed, in a moment, history was changed. Immediate history was changed. I wonder if she was going to sleep well that night. I wonder if she had enough energy to do her chores. I wonder if she had enough blessing to bless the people around her. She didn't before, but in a moment she did. When she reached out and touched the hem of her garment, history was changed. Her life was changed. All the things around her was changed. And she was able to do the things she couldn't do before. There was a blind man one time that cried for the Lord. Oh, what's going on? Jesus of Nazareth is coming by. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And in a moment, history was changed. Because Jesus comes up and they taught him to be quiet. They wanted to stop history from being changed. But no, I'm going to cry the louder. Jesus, the Son of David, had mercy on me. And Jesus comes, don't bother this man. You're a blind man. You have nothing to offer. That's exactly right. But I need help from the Lord. And the Lord, in a moment, can you imagine the difference between not seeing and seeing? Can you imagine the inspiration in the soul from not seeing to seeing? You see the change that happened in a moment. In just a little bit, in a man. In the course of a lot of lives around him was changed in a moment. There was a little man one time that heard that Jesus was passing by. But the crowd was great. And he was small in stature, so he couldn't see over him. And I can just imagine him bopping, trying to get in the crack. Couldn't see. So he climbed up in a tree. You know, for a lot of us, humbling is going down. But for Zacchaeus, humbling was going up. Because that must have been awful humbling for that small man to climb up in that tree. Tax collector and a man in his position, climbing up in a tree. But act like he didn't care, because history was changing. Something was happening. He gets up there and Jesus comes by and says, Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down out of there. Why? Because I'm going to thy house, Zacchaeus. And he comes down out of there saying, if I've wronged anybody, in a moment, in an instant, history was changed. A man named Zacchaeus, you know why he said, if I've wronged anybody? Well, I don't think I have. Zacchaeus, you know why you said it? You know you did. If I've wronged anybody, I'll give them fourfold. I'll make it right to them. You know you did, Zacchaeus. Come on. And in a moment, a man greedy, after money, whatever it was, altered and changed in a moment. Would you be willing to say that his family was changed in a moment? That his wife was seeing a different guy? That his family seen a different guy? His neighbor seen a different guy? And now when they come up to get and he gets their taxes, they see a different guy. Here's the guy, instead of squeezing extra for himself, gives the fair deal. In a moment, in an instant.
Yes.
Changed.
Yes, amen.
You know, we have that same, Lord help us, but we have the same right and privilege that they had.
Yes.
There was a scene one time where there was the Son of God was on a cross, dying on a cross, and beside him was two men, on the same course of history. They were thieves and robbers, murderers. They was malefactors of some sort, and they was on the cross. And in a moment, I love this verse. I love it. It actually thrills me. In a moment, one of them's eternal destiny was changed. They both had the opportunity, did they not? Right hand, left hand, two. It forever signifies choice to me. The choice of the gospel. It is given to all. We're all sinners. We should be crucified. And here we are to make a choice. One of them says, if you're the Son of God, get us down out of here. And the other says, how can you talk like that? We're thieves. We're criminals. This man done nothing. Lord, remember me. What simple words. Lord, remember when you come into your kingdom. Remember me. Just remember me. And Jesus said, this day, in a moment, I'm going to tell you in a moment, I don't know one there. And it's not recorded. I wonder how they died, though. They had to have died different. There's a difference in the death of the righteous and the death of the wicked. He said, this day will thou be with me in paradise. I can die now. I don't know. But in a moment of time, history was altered. There was a man named Saul who was a zealous feller. He had quite a list of things that he had accomplished, and he was in pursuit of crushing this new insurrection or this heresy that had arose among the Jews. And he had authority to do it. And so he was stamping out this thing called the Church of God. And he was on the road. He's going to Damascus with a letter from the authorities to do whatever it took to crush it. And he's on the road to Damascus. And in a moment, folks, the Lord piped and Saul danced. And in a moment of time, history was changed for a man, but not a man. For all of us. Do you know how much blessings and encouragement and help every one of us have gotten by the man's life that was on the road to Damascus to do evil? And in a moment of time, Jesus came to him and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. Lord, who are you? This is Jesus of Nazareth, of whom thou persecutest. Lord, what would you have me to do? In a moment, I don't think the other ones around it saw it or understood it. But in a moment of time, a man was altered and changed. Because he accepted it, because he was there to embrace it, it was changed. It was altered for him and his family, the church, the people around, and great blessings would fell upon the church because of this man that was willing to give himself so fully and consecrate his life to death to reach out to the Gentiles. He was called to the Gentiles, and he was faithful to that. And it was changed and altered. We can do what the Lord wants us to do, folks, if we'll take the course of the Lord. In Acts 26 chapter, I'm going to start with the 19th verse. Whereupon, O King, you can read the red letter stuff, and you'll see that that's where the Lord, Saul was on the road to Damascus. 19th verse says, Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continued unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those that were which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest. Then King Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You know, here's a case where history was almost changed. Here was a case where a man was almost saved. Here was a course where a nation was almost blessed by having a king that was saved. Here was a place where many people would have been benefited and almost. They almost was. Did you ever almost do something for the Lord? Have you ever almost been obedient? Have you ever almost witnessed for the Lord? Testified for the Lord? You ever almost? You know, almost ain't good enough. He almost had the course of his life changed. But the moment had come. That moment of life-changing experience was right there. Right now. O King Agrippa, the Lord has focused it all right here. To this moment in time. To whether you go on the steady course of your life and you go on and die and go off into eternity lost, or here is the time to where history will be changed, the course of life will be changed for you and for others around you, and you'll be on the course to make heaven your home. And that beautiful picture. There was another one in the 24th chapter I want to look at. 24 and 25 is the verse I'm looking for. Acts says, after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. Oh, Lord, help us. Go away for this moment. Time. Go away for the time that the Lord has focused it all here to this time and place, to where He's piping with my heart. He's saying, dance. Oh, if you'll dance, right, here's your time. We're weeping. Weep with us. The time has come, Felix. Right here. Fine pointed down. When I was a boy, I loved to get a magnifying glass and go outside on a sunny day, pop holes through leaves. Boy, once you pull that down and condense that light down into that fine ray, and when it hits a certain place, the intensity of that heat is all there on that one little spot. And boy, anything dark brown or anything like that, it will just smoke and the leaves will come out. Or I'd get over a black ant especially and get the light on him, and then I'd draw that light back and zap. And he would smoke and kick around for a little bit. I got one time to get these clear plastic bags, and I'd go run. And I'd go and stick it up over a hornet's nest or wasp's nest and pinch it shut. And these bees would be inside of that. And that old magnifying glass can smoke. You see a little puff of smoke inside that bag, and he'd fly over intense down to that one point. God's bringing all of this stuff, all the focus of it is focusing right down on your moment, Felix. You've been brought to the moment of understanding, of trembling. Folks, do you know trembling is not a bad thing? Trembling before the Lord is a good thing. Felix was brought by righteousness and reason, a reason of righteousness and temperance and of judgment to come to him, and he trembled. He trembled because he believed it. And now it's focused down into a time that now the moment has come to change your history. It's time to change the course of your life. And he says, go away for a time. And when I have a more convenient time, when the music's not playing, I'm going to dance, Paul. One of these times, when the music's not playing, I'm going to feel like dancing. When all the trembling couldn't get me to do it, I'll do it when I'm not. Folks, you're deceiving yourself with that. Folks say, when I'm going to be saved before I die. Oh, what a deception. You may feel like that now, but you may not ever feel like it again.
Yeah.
He trembled and yet sent Paul away. Is there any record? Well, we don't know. But is there any record in the Bible that he had a convenient season? I should say no. There probably wasn't. There was another man in the Scripture that got his opportunity. He came in the presence of the Lord. And he had a question that it seemed like he was really pondering about his life. He was a rich young man and he had lived a good life. But something pulled at him. So he went to the Lord and he said, good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, why callest thou me good? That reference to that, of course, is that he was saying to him, you just called me God. That's what that whole reference meant. He said, why do you call me good? There's only one good, and that's God. You just called me God. You did it right. Okay? It's right. You keep the commandments. What commandments? Honor, but write down. Okay, but what do I lack? In one reading it says, and it's particular, and the Lord loved thee. Now, the Lord loves everybody. There's a reason he put it in there. It meant for the Lord to have gone over into this man's life to where he did at that time. Love drew it. He loved him and wanted him to have it focused. It focused down. You understand? It focused all down unto this man's existence and his life and the fact that he needed something. And the Lord loved him and was going to let him have it. It's what drew it to it. And he told him, one thing thou lackest. You've been focused down into your one area. Your one. This is where history's changed for you, young man. This is where all that you ever wanted is going to be fulfilled if you accept. Go sell all that you have. Give it to the poor. Go take up your cross. Come follow me. And the Scripture says that that young man went away sorrowful. Sorrowfully. He left in sorrow. He did not accept it. It was a time to change the course of all his family's heritage, of his existence, of the people around him, of the people that worked for him, of all, to change the course of history for his life, had come fine-tuned down to a moment. And he rejected the moment. Do you know that he got another one? Do you know this rich young ruler? Do you know that he got another opportunity? We don't know. We don't know that it ever came around his way again. I wonder what he thought after that, though. I wonder how he dealt with life after that, or how he justified. Did he go away and say, he wasn't the son? That wasn't anybody important.
You couldn't expect me to go that far.
But folks, when the Lord focuses our life down to that time, it's a precious, precious thing. We're all going to have to meet the deeds of our life. Wouldn't it be better to know ourselves now? To be able to come to that course and be able to change that course before we have to meet it not changed? Lord, help us tonight to realize that God will give us time and opportunity and moments to change the course of our life. And I say there is big times, and then there is things that the Lord wants to work with us in little things, and the Lord will shine that light down on us and make there be a moment to where we can say, history has been changed for my life. I no longer have that habit. I no longer have that disposition. I no longer am that guy I used to be. The Lord has changed me. Thank God for the moment. You pray for me.